Take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to look at verses 23 to 34 tonight. We're going to be talking about the Lord's Supper. Title of the message tonight is A Time We Call Communion. And ever since early Christians began to meet in homes and to remember the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, ever since that first century, churches have been observing what we call the Lord's Supper. And really, of all the things that we do in a church, this one thing really ought to hold special meaning to us. And the truth of the matter is, the Lord's Supper itself and what it commemorates should cause us to be humbled, not by the act itself, but by the message that is behind it. And we're going to look at it tonight, and we're going to talk about a few different things, and I want us to be able to reflect on the Lord here tonight and what the Lord has done for us. And I think far too often in many churches, the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table, what we call communion, it's probably looked upon as something that is commonplace, almost like tradition. And, you know, Jesus did say, as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, do so in remembrance of me. There's no stipulation that the Lord puts on how often a church should observe it. It's sort of left up to churches to decide that, but there could be potentially a danger in the more frequent, you know, it's observed, the more it becomes ritualistic, the more it might become, you know, something of routine, tradition. Maybe something that, you know, we just do every other month or every few months and so on. But the reality of it is, it should be far, far more than that. It's a time that we call communion for a reason. The word communion means fellowship. It means participation. It's part of our worship unto the Lord, remembering what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary's cross. It's part of our worship unto the Lord. Certainly, it's a time to rehearse the gospel, maybe in the ears of those who've never been saved. We'll talk about it tonight. There's some here who may not be saved here tonight. This is still a message for you to hear. It's a time to reflect on our own personal walk with the Lord, our own personal relationship with Him as individuals. And so tonight, after we're done with all of this, we're going to take part in the Lord's Supper. But before we do that, I want to draw attention to what these verses teach us here about this special time. And I want to point out several things for us here tonight. And as I do, as we look at this verse of Scripture, the challenge for us is to examine our own hearts and examine our own lives tonight on the basis of what the Bible teaches us here regarding the Lord's Supper. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Father, we ask that you'd give us clarity tonight and understanding. And Father, again, that you'd touch our hearts with the truth of thy word. And Father, again, would you touch our hearts with the truth of what Christ has done for us on Calvary's cross. And Father, what it ought to produce in the lives of your children. And Lord, I just pray that you'd meet with us here tonight. Father, may your Spirit be in full control. And Father, remove distraction. Father, would you clear our minds that we may think and meditate upon you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at these verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to the end of the chapter. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. I mentioned to you the title of the message, A Time We Call Communion. I want us to look at several different things here about this special time. And the first thing I want to draw your attention to is in verses 23 to 25, and that the Lord's Supper is a time of commemoration. It's a time of commemoration. He says here, Paul is speaking, and he says that Jesus' words to his disciples that night, in the middle of verse 23, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Again in verse 25, "This do in remembrance of me." The Lord's Supper is to be a time of commemoration. Jesus commanded, "Do it in remembrance of me." These verses remind us that the Lord's Supper service is a time of calling to mind. Calling to mind, remembering the great sacrifice and the victorious death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we gather together for the Lord's table, we're not offering a brand new sacrifice, as so many religions do. No, we're not offering a new sacrifice. We're remembering Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice. The Word of God teaches us in Hebrews chapter 10. Turn there with me, please. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. Verse 9 says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." It's the will of God that people are saved through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." We remember this. It's a time of remembrance. Remember this once for all sacrifice of Christ. The idea of remembering. What is that all about? It's more than just recalling an event that took place. Are you with me here? We're talking about the Lord's Supper service being a time of remembrance, calling to mind. It's so much more than just recalling that an event took place or happened. Put it on more emotional terms or a level. How many of you have an album, photo album, you know, and maybe your mom did this when you were little, kept all of these, you know, photos, 4x6s or whatever, and put them in this photo album. And over the years, collected all of these photos and you know, made a collage or an album of all of these photos when you were a kid. And maybe the family got together at a family gathering, a holiday or something like that. And you kind of just, and that photo album just sits out there on the coffee table, you know. And maybe you sit down together as a family, you're just talking, and somebody pulls out that photo album and starts flipping through these photos. What happens usually when that scenario takes place? Usually, you start, "Oh, hey, you remember this? You remember when we did this, and this happened, and that happened, and you know, you got your tooth busted out whenever this happened." You understand what I'm saying, right? This happened many times in my family, I guess. My mom, she likes to keep those old photos. There's a picture of me and my oldest sister when we were real little. I think I probably was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old maybe. And I'm in a, it's in the wintertime, dead of winter, and I'm in this one-piece snowsuit, right? And you think, well, that's no big deal, right? Except that it was like, half of it was like bright yellow, and half of it was bright red. It looked like a clown suit. And this, we're outside playing, making a snow fort or whatever. But that snowsuit instantly brought back memories of the time that I decided to test whether or not my mom knew what she was talking about. My mom would always say, don't stick your tongue on the metal railing. And I decided I was going to test whether or not she knew what she was talking about. One night we came home after church. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I'm waiting for my dad to unlock the door, and the metal railing right there is next to the house, and I go, ah. And I kept going, ah, ah. And all of a sudden, I couldn't get my tongue off, and it was stuck. And I'm starting to panic, right? Because I'm like pulling, and my tongue's getting longer and longer. It's not coming off. And my mom just starts laughing. I told you, don't stick your tongue on the railing. And I'm starting to get more and more panicked. And she's just laughing. She's not doing anything about it. And I'm starting to get mad because she's not fixing the problem. She's like, just hang on, just hang on. So she's going to go inside, and she's going to get some hot water and bring it out and pour it over so I get my tongue off. But I wasn't going to wait. And I just went, and ripped it off. I think I left parts of my tongue on the railing. But that memory comes back whenever we see those photos. Maybe you have similar experiences. You sit around and you start to talk about all the good times and the good old days and things like that. What does it usually generate? Maybe some of you don't have any of these feelings, so you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you are just too cold and heartless. Yeah, you, Ron, I'm talking to you. What does it usually generate? Emotions, doesn't it? Bringing back those old memories. Usually good, some not so good. But it brings back some emotions. What I'm saying is this time of commemoration, it's so much more than just remembering that an event happened or an event took place. It's the idea of stirring up the mind to relive what Christ did so that you and I might have life. He gave his life. He died a cruel death. He resurrected from the grave. He went through pain and suffering, bore our sin so that we might have life. That's something that when we call to mind, listen, it ought to stir the soul in thankfulness to the Lord. Where would you be tonight if it wasn't for Christ? Where would you be tonight? What would you be doing? Some might be a drunk in a gutter. Some might have some sort of awful disease from the sin in your life. Some might be wasting their life away on fruitless, pointless things, thinking that it's going to generate happiness in their life only to find it a wreck and misery. Where would you be tonight if it wasn't for Jesus Christ? The fact is, we need to remember that Jesus Christ left heaven. He left his home in heaven to be born in a human body for the purpose of dying on a cross. Look with me in Philippians chapter 2. Let's just take a look at a couple of these passages of Scripture to help us remember some things that Jesus Christ did for you and for me. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every of things in heaven and of things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You see what kind of what he deserves? He deserves glory. He deserves honor. He deserves that every knee should bow before him. He's equal with God, and yet he humbled himself and came to this world for the purpose of dying for you and for me. He didn't have to, but he did because he loves us. The Bible says that he became poor that we might be made rich. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What grace of God is this? That though he was rich, he humbled himself and became poor, so that we, through his poverty, could become rich. Remember tonight how poor and blind and naked and wretched we were before we came to Jesus Christ, before he found us. Remember it. Oh, we get so caught up in our, and we're so self-righteous so often. We have nothing to glory in, and we're nothing special. But we have the opportunity to be rich and have life because of Jesus Christ. Actually, we're really poor, and we're blind, and we're naked, and we're wretched. The Bible teaches us not only that he became poor so we might be rich, but that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 teaches us this truth. Certainly not something new, but a reminder. It's a time of commemoration, a time to remember, to call to mind the fact that Jesus Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Verse 24, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. The fact is that he took your sin. And you know what? We could go right down the line. Chris, Mrs. Leggett, Seth, Jordan, he took your sin in his own body on a tree. Yours. All of your shame, all of your guilt, the guilt of your past, he knows what it is. He knows what you've done. He knows what you think. He knows what you have thought. He knows all about it. All the secret things that nobody else knows, he knows what you've done. And he took it in his own body so that you would not have to suffer the wrath of God. Remember that tonight. All of the shame, all of the guilt, all of the ugliness of your past, he took it on himself, and he willingly went to Calvary's cross, and he shed his blood for our redemption. And not only did he shed his blood for our redemption, but he conquered death for us forever. Amen? Look at Revelation 1. The death that we deserve for our sin, because the wages of sin is death, he conquered forever. Revelation 1 and verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Note what he says. I was alive. I came to this earth. I died. But now I'm alive again forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and of hell. He said, I am he that liveth. After that, he ascended back to heaven, and he's our great high priest forever, still making intercession for the saints of God. It's a time to remember exactly what Jesus did. Yes, it's a special time. It's a serious time. It's a sober time. It's a time of commemoration. And really, it ought to stir the emotion in the soul for what Christ did for you and for me. Why don't you go back to our text there, 1 Corinthians 11. Not only is it a time of commemoration, but we find that it's a time of contemplation. Not only are we to remember what Jesus has done for humanity, but we need to contemplate what his sacrifice means to us individually. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for sinners. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, that Christ died for sinners, of whom I am chief. But let me ask you the question, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to you? First of all, have you even been saved? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're without Christ. He did all of this that we've just talked about for you so that you could have eternal life too. But if you're here tonight and you're saved, what does it mean to you? Does his sacrifice move your heart toward worship unto the Lord? Toward thankfulness to the Lord? Does the fact that he's alive forevermore, does that thrill your soul and cause you to bow before him in humility and to want to serve him with your life? We serve a living Savior. Listen, we should use this time to reflect on what the work of Christ means to us as an individual. Our minds should reflect on what his death and his resurrection has accomplished in our lives. Listen, it's a great time to consider your personal walk with the Lord. Is your walk with the Lord all it should be, saint of God? All through this room, ask yourself the question, can you be honest with yourself? Can you be honest with the Lord? Is your walk with the Lord all that it should be tonight? Are you living in a manner that pleases him? Ask yourself that question. Be honest with yourself. Am I really living in a manner that pleases the Lord? Is my heart right with the Lord tonight? Consider your relationship to him. Remember, he sees. He knows what's in your heart right now. Think of that. Right now, this very second, he knows what you're thinking, and he knows what's in your heart. He knows if you care or not. You can't fool him. Is your heart right with the Lord? It's a time of contemplation. Look at verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Not only is it a time of commemoration, a time of contemplation, but we find here that it's a time of declaration. The Bible says here, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. This verse reminds us that when we observe the Lord's Supper, we're declaring his death and his resurrection to a new generation, to a world that needs the Lord. It's a time not only of education, but it's a time of worship for the saints of God. In a day when many churches are becoming more and more, quote, seeker-friendly, you know, find out what the masses want, and then that's what we'll provide. Other churches are abandoning the doctrines of salvation by grace through faith alone. They're watering it down. No repentance. We need to determine, as long as there is breath in our bodies, that we're going to strive to protect the message of the gospel pure and simple. Oh, look, we could compromise so that we could start drawing a crowd. Hey, we could start putting up, you know, advertisements, and we could start to become a friends type church community. We could put the rock band on the stage. We could start having dramas. We could do all kinds of stuff to start drawing a crowd. Oh, we'd have to build a new building because we've outgrown this one so much, and look what the Lord is doing. We could do all that kind of stuff. But I'd rather preach the truth to a few than drag masses to the lake of fire. We need to keep it pure. When we observe the Lord's Supper, we are publicly identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ. We do show the Lord's death till He come. Listen, if you've been saved, you're a member of Plaque Road Baptist Church, by God's grace, boldly, confidently, identify yourself with Jesus Christ to this world. The Bible reminds us that those who know Christ are not to be ashamed. In Romans chapter 10, I'll go ahead and read it to you. If you get over there with me, you can follow along. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You know, the world may call us fools. They may say that we use God as a crutch. They may say all kinds of things, but regardless of what they say, we should take our stand with the redeemed and loudly and boldly proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ and our dependence on Him. This world is attacking Christianity. There's no doubt about it. It's happening in America. I've seen a couple of different times now these news clips. These high school football players, I don't know if I've said this in church or not. These high school football players, they score a touchdown. The clips are all over the place. Scores a touchdown, and he raises his finger to the sky to point at the Lord. It's maybe like 2 seconds. He brings his hand down and he hands the ball to the referee. The referee throws the flag. He says the penalty was unsportsmanlike conduct. It was taunting the other team. And he was simply, later on in an interview, he said, "No, I was simply trying to give glory to God." You see these college coaches, guy who's getting fired because he wants to pray in the center of the field before or after a game. You see, and these are simple little things, but we see it all the time more and more, and the world is becoming more and more bold in their attempts and their attacks on Christianity, true Christianity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take our stand and proclaim our faith and our dependence upon Christ. We do show the Lord's death till He come. It's a time of declaration. And the last thing, in verse 26, if you look in our text there, it's also a time of expectation. Verse 26, he says, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." You know what the Lord's Supper is? It's a reminder of the promise that He will return. We show the Lord's death till He come. In John chapter 14, Jesus said to His disciples, in John 14, 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Here's the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that He will return. That promise is unfulfilled as of yet. And when we observe the Lord's Supper, we do show the Lord's death till he come. Look at Mark 14 with me. Look at Jesus' words here to his disciples. The context is them observing what we now call the Lord's Supper in Mark chapter 14 and verse 22. As they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he saith unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Here again is a promise that the Lord Jesus Christ made, that it's a promise that's unfulfilled as of yet. And when we observe the Lord's Supper, we show the Lord's death till he come. It's a time of expectation. This verse stirs up our thoughts concerning the return of the Lord. The truth is that he died for us, but he rose again for us. He ascended into heaven for us, and there he makes intercession for us at the throne of God. But let's not forget that he promised to return. And it should remind us of the fact that he's coming again. It should stir our hearts by reminding us that, listen, one day very soon, our Savior's going to return from glory for his children. In a few minutes, we'll pass around the bread. We'll pass around the juice. We'll remember what Christ did for us. But let's also remember that he's coming again soon for his people. The question is, are you ready to meet him? If you're not saved here tonight, you're not ready. You need Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sin. If you are saved, how's your life? Are you watching faithfully? Are you ready for the return of the Lord? Are you ready for his coming? The Bible teaches us, watch, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. I'm going to pray here. We're going to dismiss in just a moment. There's a few more things that I want to say about this passage of Scripture in just a little bit of time. But as we pray here tonight, as we dismiss, let's remember what Christ has done on our behalf. Let it stir your heart, your emotion, your feeling, your love toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's worship him tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for providing for us a way of forgiveness, a way of salvation. When we are so wretched and sinful, all of our past, all of our sin, all of our shame, you know it all, you've seen it all. And yet, Jesus Christ took all of that of the whole world upon himself. Let us love you tonight and be thankful and appreciative and remember the great gift of eternal life that cost us nothing but cost Jesus Christ everything. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.